Father, we're so thankful. We're so thankful that your love never, ever, ever fails. That it never, ever runs out. We need that continual flow of love into our lives. And so we just want to affirm what you have said. It is true. I am a loved person. We are greatly and deeply loved forever. Open our hearts to receive that. To see what it means to walk in your love. And to enjoy the fellowship of the Father. Through the Son and the Spirit. May you abide in us and we in you. So I'm asking today that you just take these words that I have put together by your leading and that you would feed your people your truth. As we look into your word, may the promises, may the revelation be made clear by your Spirit. Would you come right here now and teach through me as I present this to this beloved family of mine. Thank you, Lord, for the family you have made us to be. And I think, too, of those who we want to see brought into the family. Father, would you expand the family here that others might know your great love for your glory and our joy. We ask it. Amen. You may be seated. The beating was different. They'd been sharing Christ in Thyatira for several days. And some girl kept following after them, saying, "These men are spokesmen for the Most High God." And Paul turned and cast a demon out of her. And for that, the men who were exploiting her took him to the magistrates. The magistrates stripped off their robes and beat them publicly. And then threw them into prison, where they were placed in the innermost prison, and their feet were placed in stocks. Doing what God had called them to do and beaten for it. And in that place, deep in the prison, Silas and Paul just continued to pray. And somewhere into the evening, they began to sing hymns of praise to God. And somewhere just past midnight, the whole prison began to shake. The walls of the foundations were shaking. And then chains fell off. Paul looked at Silas, and Silas looked at Paul, and they realized, this is not your average earthquake. And before the night was through, the jailer who had been guarding them was now being guarded by the Holy Spirit as a new child in the kingdom of God. Because where they were walking by faith with all that God had revealed, and God worked. When we follow Christ by faith, God works what we cannot work. We've been talking about this idea of being a disciple. And last week, I had the joy of telling you that you could not be a disciple. Wasn't that a pleasant message? Look at those things. You cannot be a disciple if you are not willing to lay aside all of your family. You cannot be a disciple if you're not willing to deny yourself. You cannot be a disciple if you're not willing to lay aside all your possessions. Actually, there is something that bothered me, is that after having preached that message, none of you came and talked to me about, what in the world are you talking about? We have such an easy way of processing this stuff. Well, you know, that means this and that means that. Actually, it means that you and I have not the ability even to follow Christ fully apart from Christ. There is an inadequacy in us. So how do we do it if you're inadequate? If you don't have what it takes to do what God has called you to do, what do you do? Well, that's what we want to look at here today. We're talking about following by faith. Because I'm going to trust that some of you have got to that place where you've realized that the idea of taking up my cross and following Christ daily, the idea of denying myself, is so continually foreign to me that I fail, or that I'm exhausted, or that maybe you've stopped alongside the trail somewhere and said, you know, I just got to hang out here until Jesus comes. Now, I want to encourage you, you can keep following. You can keep pursuing the Savior. The Spirit is there within you to empower you to do that. But there's choices to be made. You can turn with me to Galatians chapter 2:20. I won't start there, but you can turn there. One of my favorite chapters of Scripture. I do have a few. One of my favorite chapters of Scripture is also over in Hebrews 11. So with your finger in Galatians 2:20, and your other finger over in Hebrews 11, I'd like to look at some truth together with you. So that you would be stirred to step towards the Savior. You wouldn't give up, but you'd go on with the Savior. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it men of old gained approval. By faith we understand the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. We live, the Bible says, by this faith. We're trusting that what God has declared in this book is true, not because we can logically think it through, but because I'm going to believe the revelation that He has given. In fact, it says there in the sixth verse of that same chapter that without faith, what? It is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He's the rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And we have many people today who believe that God is. I meet them all the time. People say, well, I believe that He is. I believe there's a God that is there. That's good. You have now arrived at the spiritual maturity level of a demon. The demons believe in God. Not only do they believe in God, the Bible says they tremble. I always think it's interesting. People tell me, oh, I believe in God. Well, that's good. That's not enough. That's a recognition of reality. Do you believe that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him? There must come a place in your life, not only that you know that He's there, but you know that the God who is there is worthy of relationship. That He's worthy of walking with, pursuing Him by faith. I fear there's many who sit in church chairs, you know, used to be pews, who sit in church chairs, who know what they know, but they don't pursue. He says, you must believe to please God, you must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder. If you don't believe the character of the God who is there, He's not pleased. He's not honored by that. It's not enough to say there's a God there. It must be a confidence in the God who is there as being one who's worthy of pursuit and one who will keep His promises, one who will reward you if you pursue Him. And all of chapter 11 goes on to declare and explain and reveal people of the past who have walked out their faith and been rewarded. And yet not fully rewarded. And I think sometimes we're in a culture today that says, if I don't get what I want when I want it, I'm not following. It says they did not receive fully what was promised. Is it possible that God has promised you things that you will not see in this life, but you all have to wait for until heaven? Some of you are disturbed with things in your faith. I want to encourage you. We walk by faith. That means if you don't see it, you keep walking. Isn't that what 2 Corinthians 5:7 tells us? Read it with me. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Read that again, a little louder. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Sometimes you do that in the night, isn't that right? It can be dangerous in your house. I've always had to remember, the chair by the dining room table, I need to push that back in. You go walking through there in the middle of the night, wham! You're walking by faith in what? Sometimes in yourself and in your own perceptions. That's not what he's telling you to do. He's saying, I want you to walk by faith in God. I want you to walk by faith in his promises. This book and its promises are the basis of walking with God. It's the basis of understanding how to know what you do today. That's why I say every day in the book. No Bible, no breakfast. Get in it. This is your food. Because you need to walk by faith. But otherwise, if you're not having guidance, you don't know what God has said, then what are you going to walk by? Sight. Yeah. All right? But what kind of battle are we in? Spiritual battle. So you can see all the enemies that are against you, right? No, you can't see a single enemy. How can you enter a fight if you're trying to do it by sight when the enemy is unseen? Watch Mayweather and somebody else pummeling each other here the other day. These men just looking at the other one, trying to find a way to land a blow upon the other to take the enemy out. And I wonder, we're in a spiritual battle, friends, and you can't even see the enemy. That means you ought not to get out of your bed until you've prayed. You ought not to try and go through the day until you've read. So you say, I know what God said to me today. I'm going to walk it out with him. If you were coming out the door and you knew the snipers were waiting for you, you might not come out the door the same way. We are in a battle, friends, and to walk by faith is what he has called us to do. And so this idea of being his disciple is not just an agreeing with these truths about God. We talked about that. The crowd was going along with him. We talked about last week, going along. But he says, no, if you want to be my disciple, then you've got to count the cost. You have to be willing to pay the price. So what does that look like? Turn over there to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. By the way, when I make you turn to different passages and refer to your Bibles, that's not an accident. That's intentional. I want you in your Bible. I want you to bring your Bible from home if you don't. What I'm seeking to do is to equip you to be able to be a person of the Word in your own day-to-day thing. It's great to be here on Sunday morning and to be fed, but I want you feeding yourself, so I want you to know your Bible. Galatians 2:20. We'll start with verse 19. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live to God. Isn't that interesting? Remember we talked about that last week? You must be crucified. You had to pick up your cross daily. He says, I died. I picked up my cross. I died to the law. I no longer live under law as a means of trying to earn God's approval. Because what do we read? Those of old gained approval how? Through faith. They gained approval through faith. We just read that in Hebrews 11. So he's saying, I'm not using the law to gain approval through God. There's not a list of to-dos that I do. If I do all these things, then God's happy with me. No, it's a relationship of trust. So through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. And I have been crucified with Christ. Would you say that with me? I have been crucified with Christ. He said, that has happened. I have already died. Now, therefore, if I'm dead, then how am I going to live? Well, then he then explains that. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, wait a minute, I thought he was dead. He says, the life I now live in the flesh, that is in this physical body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He says, I died. Christ has come to live inside of me, and the life that I am now living in this physical body, I'm living in dependence upon the Christ who died upon that cross for me, who loves me that much. That's how I'm living this life. And I know you hear that, but I'm not sure that you see that with your spiritual eyes. So I'm just praying today, and I pray that you'd be praying, that God would open up your mind to this. Because I can say the words, but it doesn't make it happen. But only Christ living in you enables you to live as a disciple. It is only the indwelling of Christ in the person of the Holy Spirit. That indwelling, the very Spirit of Christ in you, empowers you to walk out this disciple's life. And I find Christians are like, man, I'm just so tired. I just keep falling down. I can't get this straight. I don't do this. Friends, trying leads to failing. Trusting leads to victory. See, trying leads to exhaustion. It's trusting that leads to exaltation. Trying leads to despair, but trusting will lead you into hope. So some of you say, oh good, I'll just quit trying. That's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to die. I want you to say, I can't do it. And some of you are still saying, some of you are so strong-willed. You know, I can do this thing. Oh, I want you to say, I can't, but he can. I'm going to believe him to do that in me. See, a lot of people are too embarrassed to admit that they can't. I'm trying to be a good Christian. God forbid that you could. You can't be a good Christian. Only Christ can live the life of Christ. Doesn't that make sense? Only Christ can live the life of Christ. He's calling you to live this life. He lives that life in you. So when you put your faith in him, he comes to live in you. So now how do we connect that? That's an issue. If life is there, how is it that we draw it out? He said that over in Romans 8, verse 11, if the Spirit of him who raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in you, then he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. So there's a life that comes through the Spirit. So Jesus is life. And he, as the Spirit inside of us, enables us to live his way. All right? Think about it. You look in the Old Testament, Cain and Abel, they came offering sacrifices. Cain's sacrifice was not accepted. Sometimes people look at that and they go, I just don't get it. What was the deal? Cain offered the sacrifice of what? His own effort, his own work. It was not what God was looking for. It was a blood sacrifice that was required. All right? It was a sacrifice. And I find many Christians are trying to give God their best effort as opposed to trust God for his best strength. All right? So there's this tension that we live with, how to make choices trusting Christ as my life. He lives in me. Isn't that what Christ said? He says, abide what? In me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. That's the desire of my heart. I want to be a fruitful branch attached to the vine. But I recognize there's no life in me. No life in me. That's why you hear me saying, do your God time. spend your time with God, that you would connect, that you would recharge your life to follow after Him, because God has designed you with potential, but if you don't connect to the power, you have a tool. You're a tool in the hand of God. But if you're not connected to power, you're dead. Does that make sense? You're dead. And so what I want you to do is I want you to be fully charged, that there would be the very life of Christ in you, and then you have what you need. Because God has wired you, God has gifted you, God has called you into His kingdom for a purpose and a plan. But it's not just, oh, I'm going to go do great things for God. No, Christ in you empowers you to do these things. You ever try to use one of these manually? Take a power drill, the battery goes dead. You guys have had that happen, haven't you? It's dead, and then you're trying to use this. It is an awkward experience. That's why I find many Christians are trying to do what God has called them to do by their own power. It's like pushing the car I talked about last week. It's just, no, Christ in you provides the power. But how do you get Christ in you? You have to spend time with Christ. This battery within this drill had to sit on a charger, didn't it? It had to be connected directly to the power source, so it was relying on that. I know this is an insufficient illustration. There are no perfect illustrations of Christ except Christ. But this works with our culture. You need to charge up if you want to charge out. You have to have this life. And so there is a choice to say, Christ is my life. And so we spend time with Him. And so we encourage you, if you're new in the Word, use the daily bread. It is a quick meal. Somebody else has done some chewing, and they can give you some thoughts. I encourage you to get in it on your own and do the journal. Remember, I've talked about these. I've invested, again, heavily, so you can pick one up. If you don't journal, there's one back there on the back table. So that you could, when you go to the Word, that you could say, hey, this is what I got out of the Word. Now, some days I'll have a half a page. Some days I'll have several pages. But the idea is to say, I'm going to go to the Word. I'm going to draw truth from the Word. And so when you go to the Word, you're going to say, hey, God, what's the promise you have in here for me? What's the command you have here for me? And that every time that you connect with the Word, you let it connect with your life. And before I leave, I always will write down number four. My number four is this issue is, what am I going to do with this? What am I going to do with this? And when you do that out of your God time, you're walking away with an action plan. And then you can check back at the end of the day, at the beginning of the next day, did I do what I heard God tell me to do? And if you hear God speak to you and you begin to respond to that, we call that what? Faith. That's what it is. That's obedience. All right? So get together with Jesus. Listen to Jesus. He has a plan for you. Because faith comes how? By hearing, and hearing by the Word of Christ. And so I find so many people are going, man, James, I'm just really struggling in my Christian life. Feed yourself. You know, I have a high metabolism. When I fast, my body is screaming at me before lunchtime. I'm like, what's the deal with this? You've missed one meal and my body wants to tell you, hey, hey, hey. And all day long, it's talking to me. Is your spirit speaking to you? Say, would you feed me? Would you take the time to build your faith by feeding yourself the Word of God? You do not have to feed yourself a lot. What you have to do is do a lot with what you feed yourself. Okay? Now, I'm not discouraging reading a lot. I'm just saying, for some of you say, well, I can't spend hours. Spend minutes. Spend time. Charge up. So he says, I've been crucified with Christ. And it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If you're a believer, would you just turn to that person next to you and say, Christ lives in me. Tell them, Christ lives in me. Do you believe that? I mean, that's a weird thing to say. There's somebody living inside of you. He lives in me. Then let him express himself. Let him reveal himself. How do we do that? He says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. He never loses that picture. He loves me. He gave himself up for me. If you hear nothing else today, I want you to hear he loves you and he gave himself up for you. You're loved. You're paid for. You're welcome to the Father. What does he want you to do? He wants you to walk by faith. You see, it is only depending on Christ that will empower the disciple to follow Christ. He says, the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I depend upon him. Some of you grandparents or parents can appreciate, or even aunts and uncles can appreciate that concept of watching a young child and they're trying to move something, you know. And they're like, you watch him, and it's kind of fun to just watch him get frustrated. That's a man. But, you know, you just watch him get frustrated until they reach that spot where they go, can you help me? And sometimes they won't. Haven't you seen that when kids just throw a fit because they can't get done what they want to get done by their own power? And you're there sometimes as a parent or a grandparent waiting for them to do what? Ask. Just ask. Is Father waiting for you just to ask? He says, ask and it'll be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open. Ask. He says, the life I now live, I live by faith. It is that I live by depending on someone else's strength. What's the problem with that? I'll tell you what the problem with that is. That's humbling. I can do it myself. We learned that lesson at 2. All right? You've had that lesson your whole, I can do it myself. And it is humbling and embarrassing to say, I can't do that. And a few years back when I injured my back, I think my pride got more injured than my back did. I mean, my back was severely injured with a ruptured disc. But then every time I came to do something, nothing over 20 pounds. I kind of had fun when I went in. The doctors, it was fun to tell my wife what my list was when I came home. He says, no raking, no sweeping, no digging, no vacuuming, no mopping, you know, because of where my back was injured. You can't do these things anymore. I've got some of that back now. Don't tell her. Anyway, But that's embarrassing, isn't it? It's embarrassing. See, I have to have somebody else help me pick this up. I had something delivered the other day. I couldn't help. Do you know how helpless you are? If you do, you'll pray more. You're having trouble praying. I'm telling you what your problem is. You're proud. You think you can do it on your own. If you think you can't, you'll ask for help. Yeah, I need help. And so it is important to understand that thought that we said, only Christ can live the life of Christ, right? But it is trusting Christ, all right, that releases Christ to work. You see, he's inside of you, but you have to release him to reflect his life through you. You try to be a good Christian, but if it's by your own power, it won't get there. But if you're depending upon Christ, there is that connection point where you say yes to him and the power connection happens. The power is there, but a lot of people just don't say yes. It's a simple choice to say, And you say yes to him, then his power begins to flow out through your life. What do you mean say yes to him? Well, what has he said? Is that when you read the word, you say yes. You'll say yes to him. Faith, use a different picture, opens the faucet to the wellspring of the life of Christ. You know, we got a wonderful well at our house, 20 gallons a minute. I love it. You know, and you just got all this water. What do I got to do? I got to open the faucet. You know, I got a plant on my back, right near my back porch right now. It's just shriveling up and dying. It's 2 feet from a faucet. It's dying. Why? It's right there next to the faucet. Why is it dying? Because we're not drawing off the well. You got a well of truth in the Word of God, and it's sitting there dusty on your shelf. You need to draw in that very life and then let that flow out. And you need to open up the faucet, say yes. Yes to Him. I'll do what You've told me to do. I live by faith in the Son of God. I live relying upon Him. I live depending upon Him. It's not a faith about Him. It's a faith in Him. I'm trusting in a person, not just a precept. This is not a religion. I follow these rules. It's a relationship. I follow a person. So it's a living response throughout your day. So how does a person live by faith? There has to be this foundation. And what I mean by that is you live believing a couple of fundamental things. It goes back to that Hebrews 11:6. You believe that God is who He says He is. And He'll do what He promised He will do. If you don't know what He promised, you don't know what to expect. If you don't know what He's declared about who He is, you won't know if you can trust Him. I talk to people all the time about what I call misconceived ideas about God. I had someone just yesterday saying, well, my God, this is what my God is like. And I was just like, oh. It wasn't based on Scripture. It was based on their constructed God. There are still people making gods today. They may not carve them out of wood or stone or precious metal, but we have a culture that's begun to say, I've got a God and He will let you do anything and everything you want to do. And He'll say, that's fine because He wants me happy. Friends, that is an idol. That is not the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible said, die to yourself or you'll never follow me. People say, doesn't God want me happy? Leading question. Yes, He does. How do you get there? Self-denial. The satisfaction that comes goes far beyond the sensational pleasures of this life. And so I have to make choices. Turn me back to the book of Hebrews, chapter 5. Bless you. Hebrews chapter 5. I love Hebrews. This is so deep. Besides, actually, you just read the book of Hebrews, you have read most of the Old Testament. It is all in there. There's so much truth about Jesus in this book. All right. Hebrews chapter 5. The author of Hebrews has wrote this whole book trying to wake up people who know truth to walk it out and to not walk away. They know something and they're about to walk away from it. So his whole concern all the way through the book is he's smacking on them saying, hey, wake up. Walk back over here. Kind of where we're at sometimes. We're Christians, we know these things, but are we walking them? So he says this about them. He says, concerning Him, that is Christ, we have much to say. I'm in Hebrews 5:11. We have much to say, and it's hard to explain. Since you've become dull of hearing. What a nice thing to say to an audience. You guys are deaf. You're hard of hearing. You don't hear well. We don't take that well, do we? Somebody say, hey. He says, you become dull of hearing. For though by this time you ought to be teachers. Wait. I'd love to teach this whole passage. I can't. But let me just remind you. What he's saying is, there it comes a time when you should have enough understanding that you can teach. He's not talking about the gift of teaching. He's saying the understanding that you know something that you can share with somebody else. You know what you know that you know. He says, you ought to be teachers, and you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. You've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone, now what does he mean by that? Here's the answer. Everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. I was preaching at the mission this week. And it was interesting when I was there, God had given me a word to share with them and was challenging them about telling their own story. And afterwards, one of the men came up and he says, boy, I'm sure glad that you went beyond just sharing the gospel. He says, person after person will come in here and all they'll do is basically just pour milk on us. He says, we need to keep moving. He says, I want some solid food. Are you looking for milk? I'll tell you what, you come out on Friday night, we're serving steak. That's what we're about. It's about meat. He says, everyone who partakes only of milk, if you're just still hanging on to Jesus loves me, and that's the only truth you've got in your life, you're still drinking milk. It's good milk. There's just more to it, you know. It looked really funny to watch someone in the 5th, 6th grade, 70, 80 years old, sucking out of a bottle. Isn't that right? You know, I had somebody ask me about that. They came one time. They said, oh, I just like being a baby bird. And I just like you feeding me. Sometimes I don't say what people are wanting me to say. That's all right. I just says, I don't mind feeding babies. You see, it's when I got to pull the gray whiskers apart to stick the bottle in. It bothers me. Okay? If you've been walking with Jesus for more than 6 months, you should have truth enough to share with somebody else. Paul was appointing elders in the city 6 weeks after they'd come to Christ. I guarantee you, those guys had to have been in the Word. So how do we get there? Look what he says here. I'm still there. Hebrews 5. For everyone who partakes only of milk is accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of what? Practice. Have their senses trained to discern good and evil. Because of practice. Because of exercise. Because of action. It is the one who does something with what they have received that becomes mature. The one who sits on it stays a baby and gets fat. And you know what happened with babies? They just sit there and they drink the milk. And pretty soon they got rolls on top of rolls. You know what I'm talking about? You see that with a baby? When do those rolls go away? As soon as they start crawling. Isn't that right? You just watch it. All of a sudden you're thinking, oh my stars, I've got the blimpo child. You know, they're what is going on here? But as soon as they start exercising, what? Those rolls go away and they grow up stronger and healthier and everything else. If you will start using what you're fed by what you do, you'll build muscle rather than fat. That's what he's saying here. So, see, it's when you do what God commands you to do that God does what only God can do. That's where the miracles happen. Is he? Paul and Silas are in prison. What can they do about the results of their situation? Can they get themselves out of prison? Nada. No legal recourse. Nothing that they can do to get themselves out of prison. But what did God tell them to do in that situation? You're to rejoice always, isn't that right? You're to pray without ceasing. So, what did they do? Started praying, started rejoicing. Friends, if you will take the prison experience that you were in and begin applying the Word of God to that and begin praising Him, begin obeying Him where you are, you might be surprised at the foundations that the God of the heavens will shake. He is willing to break the chains that hold you if you are willing to obey the Word He's given you. Did you hear me? He is willing to break the chains that hold you if you are willing to do the will He's given you. Step into the Word and obey it. Every circumstance is an opportunity for exercise. See, we live in this weird culture. We've invented so many energy-saving activities and appliances and everything else. What do we do now? We have to invent equipment to exercise because we developed all this other stuff so we could rest. We're twisted, okay? That's what we are. We are twisted people. And so say, I'm going to go do this for exercise. Do something productive and you'll have exercise in the kingdom of God. You say yes to God with what He says. So when you take your God time and you see what He tells you to do by reading the Word and say, oh, He commands me to forgive. Who's that? And even as I say that word, there's a name comes to mind to many of you right now. I just say, oh, You know, he says, be anxious for nothing. What are you anxious for? Boom. You've got something just popped into your mind right now. That's a command from Scripture. James 4:17. Read this with me. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it's sin. Ouch. Why is that sin? Because God's revealed His will. God's spoken to you. You don't obey. If you don't do what He told you to do, that's called sin. That's sin. Why? Because it's not believing. Don't step into works here. Okay? I didn't do enough, so God's not happy with me. No, no, no. You didn't trust Him. You didn't obey out of trust. That's the choice. You know what's the right thing to do, then you take action on that. Some of you got a honey do this list or I got to get this done list around your house. Isn't that right? You already know what you're supposed to do. If you don't do anything on that, somebody might think you don't care. Somebody might see, it's that you're not acting out of relationship. Listen, when you obey the word in every circumstance, how do you do that? Well, in each circumstance, because, Lord, what? How am I supposed to respond? Before your flesh starts rising up, I told the guys the other night, I'm getting ready to go to the mission. I've prepared a message. My notes disappeared. I was not happy. All right? And what rises up? The joy of the Lord is my strength. Nada! I was unhappy. I could not rely on what I was going to rely on. That response, when you're in that situation, you begin to recognize, ooh, this doesn't feel like the Spirit of God. Right there, pray. What's the choice? What's the choice? There's a decision. There's something you already know what you're supposed to do. But here to tell you, friends, is that faith acts on what it knows. That's my challenge to you this morning is that many of you already know the next step that God has for you. You're saying, oh, Lord, what's your will for me? Do what He's already told you to do. Don't be like that child and saying, Mom, what do you want me to do? Clean your room. What else do you want me to do? Go clean your room. If He's giving you a will, act on it. And what? There's exercise. That's how you become mature. I did something with what He told me to do. What do we mean? Every time you see the situation that God's giving you directions in, you say yes. You say yes. You say yes. And something in your life will begin to become secured. It'll begin to become built. As you begin to build a habit and a pattern of saying yes to God, that's called walking by faith. And it's a choice, and it shows up in two areas. Your attitudes and your actions. You just check them. Say, hey, is this attitude reflecting the glory of Christ? Is this action reflecting glory of Christ? The attitudes and your actions. You demonstrate faith in Christ in your attitude and your actions. And in any and every circumstance, He's already wrote down what the attitude's supposed to be. He's already wrote down the action. You have enough revelation to know what the will of God is. If you will read the Word, charge yourself up with Christ, you can charge out. But following by faith is choosing to trust Christ in every circumstance. Every circumstance. It's trusting of Christ that releases Christ to work. So you go forward trusting Him, and He will fulfill His word. And you say, yes, I will serve. Yes, I will give thanks. Yes, I'll share my faith. I got that call yesterday I mentioned. I'm coming back here. I am on a dead run trying to get a sermon done. Some of you know me. I'm always in that dead run on Saturday trying to get this sermon done. And I come back in, there's a note on my door. This person wants somebody to please call them. What do you know? I know that's going to take more time than in my mind I got time to do. And that's the spot where you say, God, what am I supposed to do? And you pray through to say, hey, You show me what to do. And he will lead you if you will listen. He always does. So what is this? Back to Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Isn't it interesting? He doesn't say who loves us all and gave himself up for us all. He says, no, Paul, the apostle, says he loves me. Can you say that? He loves me. That's this personal choice. If you're listening to my voice today, you've never made that choice, I'm here to tell you, he loves you. Choose to believe that. And he gave himself up for you, which means you were a sinner separated from God forever. He died for your sins. He gave himself up for you. He paid that bill. Put your trust in that Savior and you will be saved. How do you get that? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. That's the step of faith into salvation. And from there we step into what? Sanctification. That's everything else I've been talking about this morning. This is how you walk out your walk of faith. You don't just get saved by faith, you live by faith. What I do in response to all that God commands reveals what I believe. That's my faith statement. It's my lifestyle. So what am I asking you to do? Two things. Feed your faith. Exercise your faith. Eat and exercise. It's basic stuff, isn't it? All right. Next week we'll be talking about there is one mark that will mark you out radically as a disciple of Christ that can be recognized internationally anywhere you go, wherever you are. And a certain person will know that's a disciple. We'll talk about that next week. But today, let's talk to him about faith. Father, I just confess I am such a doubter. So many areas I'll pick up an attitude that's contrary to your will. And I'll gripe and complain. Or so many times I'll pick up something against somebody else when you've told me to forgive. I won't step forward when you've already told me step. I will not follow when you said walk. Oh Lord, for myself and for my brothers and sisters here, we come saying, change us. Strengthen us to walk by faith, to follow you fully for your glory. Lord, I don't know what you've revealed to someone today, but I know that you have spoken to hearts about issues today, and some have been stuck for a long time, and you're willing to shake the prison that they're in if they'll begin to praise you. Would you move them from complaining to thankfulness today? Oh God, set us free for the glory of Christ and for our joy. We ask it. Amen. Let's stand and praise him.